Thank you. love gathers us here today, and he greets us with these words: May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all.
Amen.
Good morning, and welcome to LaGrave Avenue Christian Reformed Church. Whether you're joining with us here this morning in person or through our live stream, we are glad you are here this morning. We extend a special welcome to Reverend Dr. Mary Hulst, who is joining us this morning and will be giving the sermon. She currently serves as Calvin University's pastor. Welcome, Reverend Dr. Mary. District coffees continue this morning with District 9. They will be gathering in the parlor, which is down the hallway and to the left. The rest of you are invited for a time of fellowship in the multi-purpose room. You'll see a lot of construction near the normal multi-purpose room doorway, but don't be alarmed. Just keep moving to the right, and you'll find another doorway in. We're hoping that construction will be done by the end of the month. Tonight, we have the privilege of welcoming missionaries Jeff and Julie Bauman. They'll be giving a ministry moment during the evening service and then a longer update over a light meal following that service. So we hope that you will join us then to hear about their work in Hungary. This morning, our sermon text comes from the Gospel of John. The Gospel was written by John, one of Jesus' disciples. That disciple also wrote the letters of John, and so there's a lot of parallel language between the Gospel of John and those letters. So in the sermon passage this morning from John's Gospel, we'll hear how Jesus calls us to abide and remain in God's love by keeping his commandments. In John's first letter, he identifies one of those commandments, the command to love our brothers and sisters. As we participate in a call and response this morning, I encourage you to reflect on this command from God to love others and think about how your love for God relates to your love for others. 1 John 4, verses 20 through 21. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. And he has given us this command.
Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister.
Let's pray. Merciful God, we humbly confess our sins and ask for your mercy. We have not always loved you with our whole hearts, nor have we loved our brothers and sisters in Christ as you have commanded us to do. We have turned toward revenge, anger, and jealousy, which often give rise to discord and bitter feelings. Turn our hearts back to you, Lord, and in your mercy, teach us how to love one another just as you have loved us. In your name we pray, amen. Because of our sinful nature, we often fall short in this command to love others. But God's love never falls short, and it never fails. In this next call and response, I encourage you to reflect on God's love for you and be assured that out of his great love comes grace, mercy, and peace. From 1 John 4, verses 10 through 16, this is love. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, and so we know and rely on this truth. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
One update before our prayer this morning. You will see in the prayer guide that Millie Vreend had surgery this past Wednesday, and we received a note that that surgery was very successful. So we praise God for that. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear God, when we think about abiding in you, how you are the vine and we are the branches, we begin to picture a potted plant and how that plant abides in its pot. And as we picture that plant, we think about ourselves and see all the places you have planted us in, all the places we abide in. We think about the world you have planted us in. We thank you for the many missionaries who have chosen to live and be part of different areas of the world. We think of Jeff and Julie Bauman. Thank you that they have the opportunity to visit with us later tonight, and we pray you continue to bless their work in Hungary. We also think of Stephen and Alicia Lutz, who are serving in Kenya. Be with them as they minister during a time of political turmoil. Bring peace and grant understanding to both the government officials and protesters so that a resolution may be reached. Along with our world, we think about the country you have planted us in. We pray for our country as we lament the violence in it, and we pray for our country as we navigate another election year. We pray for former President Trump as he recovers from the attempt on his life, and we pray for President Biden as he continues to lead our country. Grant both leaders safety and wisdom during this election year. Along with our country, we think about our state. Thank you for Michigan, Lord, for the beautiful lakes, the hiking trails, and the wonderful summer weather that we have the opportunity to enjoy. We pray for good weather for the crew backpacking trip in Pictured Rocks this upcoming week. Keep the group safe as they hike together, and may they see you through your creation this week. Along with our state, we think of our city. Lord, thank you for planting us here in Grand Rapids and for continuing to call us to be in the city under the cross. We love our city, Lord, and we love the neighbors who you have placed alongside us. Thank you for the many local organizations who help support our neighborhood, including Degage, Mel Trotter, Cherry Health, Trinity Health, Family Promise, AYA, and so many more. We pray you continue to bless their ministries. Equip us all as we work together to support our neighbors. And along with our city, Lord, thank you for calling us to this church. Thank you for LaGrave and the community of people here who love and care for one another. Thank you for District Coffees and the opportunity those have been for people to reconnect or build new relationships. Thank you for our young adult program and the kayaking opportunity they had last week. Continue to walk with us as we discern where you are calling our church, and be with us as we continue to strive to live into our long-range plan, which focuses on ministry to young people and families, on growing our connections to one another, and on growing our ministries in our Heartside neighborhood. Lord, thank you for planting us in these different pots and for abiding with us in each of them. You are present yesterday, today, and forever. And for that, we say thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Jesus spoke to his disciples. He said, "Do not be afraid. I give you peace. I give you peace. Through me the love of God abides in you each day. I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me as I abide in you, and you will bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The love of God will shine forth in you. The love of God will shine forth in you. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Remain in me and keep my commands. And this I command you, love one another, that your joy may be that your joy may be full. I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me as I abide in you. And you will bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The love of God will shine forth in you. The love of God will shine forth in you. The love of God, the love of God. Shine forth in you.
All right, children, come on down for the children's message. You can swerve around Mr. Carl and Mr. Sam there as they're going back. Hi, how are you guys? You know, as much as I miss Pastor Peter, I do enjoy getting to talk to you guys on Sunday mornings. And I know the other staff members have enjoyed that too. But we look forward to him coming back. All right, what a good crowd. All right, how are you all this morning? Good. This is a fake plant. Thank you for pointing that out. I was a bit nervous to take one of the real plants down because it's a pretty large vase of water, and you know what I pictured doing? Tipping it over. You have a pretend plant too? Yeah, they are very nice because there is no fear about them dying. So do some of you have plants at home, real or fake ones? Yep. What kind? You have a real one? Lots of them. What kinds of things do you have to do to the flower to take care of it?
Water it.
Yep. Tomato plants. You have tomato plants. Do you have to get the weeds out of the tomato plants sometimes? Oh, yeah, or else they won't grow. Yeah, what else?
I have tomato plants.
This is awesome. I didn't know you guys were so into plants.
I have a big pile of weeds.
You have a big pile of weeds? Yeah.
And it might be toad bugs and then definitely ants.
Oh, I didn't even think about all the bugs that might eat your plants. Yeah, definitely. Good. You know, I think this shows that we have a really good relationship going, that we can just chit-chat like this up front. Well, you guys really know a lot about plants, and what I wanted to talk about today is how Jesus is kind of like a gardener for us. He protects us because just like a gardener has to protect its flowers from weeds or bugs, he gives us nutrients, he gives us food, and he provides for us. Just like a gardener provides a nice pot for its plant or maybe a gardening bed for the tomatoes, the gardener gives it water, maybe some fertilizer, and God gives us good things too that are part of our life. And so Jesus says in the passage today that Pastor Mary's going to talk about he's like the vine and we're the branches. And so there's this planting imagery. And so we can learn a lot about Jesus when we think about him like a gardener.
Have you heard of Red Fool's Roy?
No, I haven't. But you can tell me about it later. How does that sound?
I have some. I found some real life Red Fool's Roy.
Gotcha. Yeah, so what I wanted to share with you today is Jesus is like our gardener. He protects us and he takes care of us. And at the end of the day, he looks at us like a gardener looks at a flower and he says, "How beautiful." So that is what I wanted to share with you today. I appreciate all the things you had to share with me as well. People of God, what is our prayer for these children?
Lord,
and also with you. Oh, good catch.
One generation will commend your works to another. What a beautiful thing. As Rachel said, I'm Mary Hulst. I serve as the pastor at Calvin University here in Grand Rapids. And I know that many of you have been praying for and supporting Calvin over the years, and for that we are so very grateful. And for those of you who are looking to go to college, may I recommend Calvin University? It's a great place to be, and I so love it. You'll see this morning that I am wearing a stole that doesn't match the other folks' stoles. That's because this was a stole that was commissioned for me on the 25th anniversary of my ordination, which was back in 1996. That's how long we've been ordaining women in the Christian Reformed Church. Thanks be to God. And the artist is another pastor named Joy Engelsman from Colorado. And each leaf is embroidered with a word that I gave her, like prayer, integrity, hugs, love, solitude, silence, preach. And so there are 25 leaves, one for each of the years of my ordination. And as you can see, they all flow out of the cross. So, and it happens to align with the whole theme of the day. So, friends, this morning we're reading, no surprise, from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, Verses 1 through 11. Verses 1 through 11. The Gospel of John 15. This is what Jesus says. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes to make it bear fruit. You are already clean or pruned because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain or abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain or abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains with me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain, abide in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain, abide in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is the word of the Lord. Jesus spoke these words. It was on an evening of great stress and tension. It was Maundy Thursday. They were at the Last Supper. He had already washed the disciples' feet. He had told them that one of them in the room was going to betray him, and Judas had gone out. From our 2,000 years later perspective, we look at this passage and we think about the context in which it was first spoken and think, there are a lot of things that Jesus could have said in that moment. A lot of things that would have been very helpful to us in later years. You know, he could have explained the doctrine of the Trinity. He could have clarified what is heaven actually like. What's the whole new heavens and the new earth? How does that all work? He could have explained some of the things he said earlier that John wrote down that are confusing. Eat my body, drink my blood. That was very confusing for them. But on this night, when Jesus knows what's coming for him and what's coming for them, this is what he says. I am the vine. My Father is the gardener. The disciples knew by this point that when Jesus said, I am something, they had to lean in and listen. Jesus had said it 6 times up to now in the Gospel of John. I'm the gate, living water, light of the world. And every time he said it, it was an echo of something that God had said to Moses. When Moses was given the commission to go to Pharaoh and set my people free, he said to God, who do I tell him is sending me? What is your name? And God said, I am who I am. And so when Jesus said, I am, the disciples listened. I am, he says this time, I am the vine. My Father is the gardener, the vine grower. Every branch that is in me bearing fruit, he's going to prune so that it makes more fruit. Now, as with all the other images that Jesus uses, the disciples would have understood this one because they walked past vineyards all the time. They knew people who grew grapes. They knew people who dried grapes and turned them into raisins. They knew people who made wine. They knew that vines are high-maintenance plants. If you don't direct a vine, it will go everywhere. Some of you are experiencing with the various plants that were named here this morning. If you ever drive in northern Michigan up to the Leelanau Peninsula, which is here on the Michigan hand map, you will drive past vineyards and you will see that the vine growers are very intentional about where they want these vines to grow. When they're little, they have little stakes in them that say, "Grow up this way, little vine." And then there are wires, usually three wires stretched. And they want the vines to grow there, to be controlled. And when the vine grower sees a vine that's just out doing its own thing and not bearing any fruit, he will cut it off. Because the energy has to go back to the rest of the plant. It can't just be wasted like that. If you've read the Little House on the Prairie books, are my people in the house? Yes, excellent. And I see you who didn't want to raise your hand. I get it. You may remember in the book Farmer Boy, Almanzo, who grows up and eventually marries Laura, right? Obviously. Almanzo wants to grow a prize-winning pumpkin. And he doesn't begin this in about August. He starts it way back, and he talks to his parents about their pumpkins, and can he have a special one? And they said, yes. So they plant the seeds, and he's watching to see which will be strong and vital and growing. And of those good ones, he watches them more to see what kind of vines they put out, and he chooses one. And he looks at the different vines and he cuts off the ones that don't look good and he watches that one that looks good and the little blossoms come out that eventually turn into pumpkins and he watches them and he picks the best little pumpkin. And then he sets up a feeding station for the pumpkin. Do you remember this from the book? He actually makes a little slit in the vine, uses a piece of fabric and puts a jar of milk on one end and into the vine on the other, so the pumpkin is fed by milk. It's totally ethical. It's totally fine. He's not disqualified for doing that. You see, Almanzo has a goal, and his goal is to grow a prize-winning pumpkin, and he is going to cut off everything that gets in the way of that, and he's going to feed the things that are going to produce that. That's his goal. He wins, by the way. Spoiler, if you haven't read the book. What Jesus is saying here in John 15 is God is that kind of gardener. God has a goal to produce vibrant and robust disciples, and he will cut off anything that gets in the way of that goal. He will prune things, even good things, so that the best things can flourish. Pruning means God sometimes cuts off things, even good things, so the best things can flourish. We aren't very good at that. We don't like to say no to things. We don't like to cut things off. We like to say yes to things. Yes, I will bring the snacks for every soccer game this fall. And yes, we will have the grandchildren for 2 weeks this summer. And yes, I will volunteer to be in the Boy Scouts. And yes, I will go on the women's weekend. And yes, we will sign up our children for different travel sports that make us gone every weekend through the entire academic year. And yes, to church. And yes, to Jesus. And what happens is that we've got these vines that are going all over the place, and we're distracted, and our energy is spent, and we're not focusing our energies on what matters most. Our other problem is that shoots often appear that we don't really like, and so we don't pay attention to them. Your sister ticks you off, and a shoot of anger begins to grow. Someone to whom you are not married catches your eye, and a shoot of lust sprouts up. We have a shoot of ego every time we succeed, or our child or our grandchild succeeds, and we have a shoot of envy anytime someone else or someone else's child or grandchild succeeds. Big sins start from little shoots. No one who eventually ends up having an affair or embezzling, stealing money from their company, or cheating on a final exam woke up that morning and said, "Today I shall have an affair. Today I shall embezzle money. Today I'm going to cheat on the final." There are all of these little things that came first, little shoots that may have been ignored, may have even been fed. Oh, you know, just send the flirty email because it's funny. Just take a little bit out of petty cash. No one will notice. Just cheat on this quiz. It doesn't matter this much, and you didn't sleep well last night. And what happens is those little shoots grow and grow and grow and become a vine that grows out of control and soon takes over a life. It may, again, still seem a bit odd that Jesus talked about this on the night before he died. But Jesus knew that even before the night was over, his disciples would be thrown into crisis. And it is in crisis that character is revealed. And he knew that that very night, many of them would literally run away from him. That Peter would deny him. That Thomas, even a week later, would still doubt the whole thing. We could look at that and say, after this night, the disciples failed. They failed Jesus and they failed each other. But in Scripture, failure is rarely the end of the story. We know that Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, this is not where things end. We know that what happens is Jesus rises from the dead, and when he sees his disciples for the first time, he says, "Peace, shalom, it's okay. You're forgiven." We know that he has an exchange with Peter in which he says, "Hey, do you love me?" "Yeah." "Feed my sheep. Go on and do the thing that I want you to do. Do the thing that you are wired to do." And to Thomas, he says, "Go ahead and look. I'm not afraid of your doubts." You see, for each of these disciples, the failure wasn't the end of the story. The failure was an opportunity in which God was able to prune them so that they could more deeply abide in him. God pruned off the arrogance they had that they were Jesus' disciples and he was going to be the king and they were going to rule and be in charge. And he cut off Peter's ego that said he would stand with Christ no matter what. He cut off the idea of Thomas that doubting was where he was going to land for a long time. You see, God pruned them in this very intense weekend so that they would more deeply abide with him. So that they would remember the things that Jesus taught them. So that they would remember that it wasn't all about them. To abide with someone is to live with someone. Some of you in the summer, you abide with people you don't normally abide with. You have a family reunion and everyone's in the same house. And you have to make space for people. Yes, yes, I see those smiles. You have to make space for people. You have to realize, like, who's going to get up early and who likes to sleep in and who wants their coffee at which time and how they want it and who actually drinks tea. And who can't have gluten? And what about the baby that needs a nap? And you realize you have to make space. You make space. To abide is to say, I value you so much. I want you in my life so much that I will make space for you. And in his death and resurrection, Jesus made space for us. In his death and resurrection, he says, failure is not the end of your story. Those shoots of sin, they are not the end of your story. In his death and resurrection, Jesus Christ says to us, I make space for you. Abide in me. And bear fruit. Go out and do amazing things, or simple things, or regular things that influence the world for the kingdom of God. Many of us have a little more time in summer to reflect on life, think about things, wonder what we're going to do differently. And the invitation from this text, one of them, is to ask God, what in my life needs to be pruned? Maybe it's too many things, and you're thinking, I'm spread all over, I say yes too much, and I'm actually not becoming the person that I think God wants me to become. These are all good things, but they're not the best thing. So God, what needs to be pruned so that I can abide and bear fruit? And you may need to say no to some really good things. And it could be that you say, where in our family do we need to simplify? Do we need to cut off some things so that we can focus on the things that matter, which are our relationship with God and our relationship with our significant people? What are some things that God is inviting us to say no to so we can say yes to the best things? And it could be that the Holy Spirit is giving you a nudge about one of those little shoots that you don't want to pay attention to. And maybe that shoot is already beginning to bloom and grow. And the Holy Spirit is saying, you know, it's time to talk with somebody about the pornography. It's time to delete that gambling app off your phone. It's time to go to AA. It's time to confess. And our initial impulse is like, I don't think he's saying that to me today. That's not such a big deal. It's just a little shoot. It's like, you can hardly see it. It's really not that big of a deal. But we are told in Scripture that it's God's kindness that leads to our repentance. It's because he wants better for us that he invites us to repent, that he invites us to turn toward him, that he invites us to open up our life and say, Lord, prune what needs to be pruned so that I can abide in you and bear much fruit. God has a goal of robust and vibrant disciples, and he won't let anything get in the way of that goal, and neither should we. At the end of our text, Jesus says, I say these things to you so that my joy can be in you and that your joy can be complete. That's the invitation, that we open ourselves up to the abiding love of God so that he can prune away what needs to be pruned and let flourish what needs to flourish. What an amazing gift it is that we have a God who loves us that much, that he wants our flourishing and our joy and our life. Blessed be his holy name. Amen. Will you pray with me? God, our gardener, we give you praise and thanks that it is out of your love that you prune us. It's out of your love for us that failure is not the end of the story. It's out of your love for us that you sent Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, who in his death and resurrection made space for us to abide in him. So as we gather for worship, and have family devotions, and listen to worship music in the car, memorize scripture, give money, serve our neighbors. Help us to do these abiding practices and see you in them. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you that he sent the Holy Spirit who nudges us today to say, think about that. Look at this. Because you love us. What a beautiful thing that is. May we truly be the branches that bear much fruit, knowing that apart from you, we can do nothing. And we pray this in the name of our Jesus. Amen. Receive the blessing from the God who loves you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.